Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hi there, and welcome indeed to this episode of The Inner Life here on Wednesday, July 7th, Wednesday of the 14th week in Ordinary Time. This is our program about spiritual direction and always looking at a different aspect of our spiritual life, how we can apply that, how we can grow in that area. And today, as we begin the program, who is the person that you most look up to in your life? Maybe it's a teacher, someone who mentored you. Is it your mom or your dad, maybe a grandparent? Why do you look up to them? Did seeing how they lived their life, how they conducted themselves, did their example make you want to be just like them? Did you at different times maybe imitate different aspects of their behavior or their speech? They say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but I've also encountered people who imitate someone to such a degree that it reaches the point of maybe being a little weird, a little creepy. And one instance of this was when I went to audition for a band. And I've mentioned several times here on The Inner Life that I play music. I grew up playing the piano. I've been in different choirs and vocal groups in the past. I went to college for music theory and composition. And I've picked up learning different instruments along the way. And I've also played in a handful of different bands, some where we played original songs that we wrote, but also in other bands where it was just a cover band, played cover songs, songs to entertain everyone, for people to just dance along with at festivals or weddings or bars or clubs, any of those kinds of things. And every band that I have played in, it has had the common theme of the lead guitar player having one or two guitarists that they absolutely love. And that lead guitar player, if they warm up, they'll play one or two riffs by that favorite musician of theirs. In one band I was in, Steve, he loved to play things by Robert Plant. Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. Andrew, he was another one. And he liked Jimi Hendrix or George Harrison. He'd play some of those different riffs on his guitar. Todd was another one from another band, and he'd break out into different songs by Eddie Van Halen or by Alex Lifeson from the band Rush. And there's this one time that I auditioned for a band, and the lead guitar player loved Slash. That's the lead guitarist from the band Guns N' Roses. Now, when I auditioned for this band, and I don't even remember a name of anyone in the band, they had advertised that they were looking for a keyboard player. So we set up a time for me to come and play through a handful of songs with them. And when I end up auditioning for a band, I also consider them kind of auditioning with me as well. After all, you want to play people, play music with people who are at a similar skill level. Then there's also the question of personalities. You know, everyone needs to get along, and you don't want a bunch of drama or a bunch of conflict there in the group that you're playing with, because playing music should be fun, right? It should be enjoyable. So I had shown up at the appointed time here at the drummer's house. Their practice area was down in the basement of his house, and so everybody was arriving around the same time, and the last person to show up was the guitar player. And when he walked in, it was a little uncanny. Now, if you've ever seen a picture of Slash from Guns N' Roses, he has this very distinct look. He has this really long, curly hair that's thick. It hides part of his face. He wears these dark sunglasses, and he usually is sporting this big black top hat. Well, this guitar player, he had just walked into the basement, and as I looked at him, he has this long, dark, curly hair. Even his clothes, they looked like something that Slash would wear. The only thing he didn't have was that black top hat. But I'm guessing he probably had that at his house, wherever he lived. Well, so we started playing through a few songs. And this guitarist, he even lit a cigarette and let it hang loosely off of his bottom lip, just like Slash would do, you know, these old televised performances back in the late 80s and early 90s that I'd seen. And he had the same stance, you know, legs kind of spread apart, just like Slash. And so we played through a few songs, and when we took a break and we were just going around talking about our musical influences, we, you know, each person would share a little bit, different musicians, our backgrounds. And I finally looked at the guitar player, and he'd been pretty quiet up until this point. And I made some comment about, well, you must like Slash. And that was all it took. And then he's just off and running. He started going on and on about how incredible, how great of a guitar player Slash was. And I don't know how long he talked about it. It was a while. He went on for quite a while there. Now, we eventually started getting back to playing through a couple more songs. I ended up thanking them. I excused myself, left, and I did not join that band. I kind of found it awkward to play with a Slash lookalike just in a basement, and I didn't really want to play in public with a Slash lookalike. So they were all really nice guys. Nothing against them. It just wasn't for me. But that guitar player, his imitation of Slash, in a way, that's kind of what each of us are called to do as followers, as disciples of Jesus. And I don't mean that we should all wear our hair long and grow beards and put on sandals. But if someone encountered you for the first time, just like when I very first met that guitar player and knew, without him saying a word, that he was a Slash devotee, would somebody meeting you for the first time know that you are a disciple of Jesus? Would they be able to tell that Jesus has transformed you, has freed and cleansed you from your sin? I hope so. I hope they would be able to see that in you, and I hope they'd be able to see that in me. St. Paul, he ended up talking about imitating Christ, and in his letter to the Philippians, he talks about knowing Christ and following Christ to the point where he might, quote, share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's what St. Paul says. Are you that kind of disciple where you want to imitate Jesus to the point of sharing his sufferings? Well, today, we want to talk about discipleship, being that devoted, sold-out follower of Jesus. And our spiritual director today helping us look at this topic of discipleship is Father Matthew Witter. He's a priest in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. He's the parochial vicar at St. John Newman, St. William's, St. Joseph's, and St. Mary's parishes in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Father Matthew, welcome back to the program. Are you a big Guns N' Roses fan?
I'm not. I've heard of the Guns N' Roses, but I might be a little bit too young for them.
That's all right. But
definitely very well-known band. And the image that that you gave of that Slash devotee, I mean, that points a great image.
Yeah, it was. It was just it was one of those where you tried not to do a double take at first, but I'm sure I did. But he was kind of in his cool Slash-like aura and attitude that I don't think he either cared or paid any attention to if I did a double take there. You know, if you're willing to go and work in your day job looking like that, you probably don't really care. But that kind of brings up, again, you know, we should have that same sort of attitude that we are followers of Christ and that people recognize that, like I said, Father. So to start off, you know, I've mentioned that as part of being a disciple, but how would you define discipleship, specifically Christian discipleship? What are the different aspects that we might consider as we begin this conversation?
A disciple is a student of our Lord, is a student of the Master, of the Messiah, of our Lord, who seeks to follow him. And so there's different elements of discipleship, whether it's study, whether it's our prayer life, the sacramental life. But then there's the following and the evangelization and the reaching out and the spreading of the faith. So it's being a student of our Lord, but it's discipleship just isn't about knowing a lot of things about the Lord. Sometimes you can get trapped that, you know, we can know about the Lord, we can know the scriptures, but we're not actually following the Lord. And so that's the next part of it, to know the Lord, you know, to know the Lord as to sit at the Master's feet, but then to have kind of the legs in a way to put that into practice in evangelization and reaching out.
Well, and I suppose there you can look at, you know, even with Judas, he was somebody who obviously knew Christ, knew him very well, you know, sat in the place of honor there at the Last Supper. And so that knowing, along with following, those are two very important key points that you're talking about there. It's not just enough to know Christ. And that's something that I always remember hearing those famous words from St. John Paul II, that he said, it's not enough to know Christ, you must introduce him to others.
Yeah, that's a piercing way of putting it, because sometimes we can get trapped in that sense of we know, you know, the Catholic trivia perhaps or biblical trivia, but then it's that sense of are we living it? Now we can't. It's hard to love that which you don't know, that whom you don't know. So we need to know. I'm not saying that's not important. It's hard to love that which you don't know. But then, yep, exactly, that sense of that love bubbles over, that it can be seen in the same way that you saw that member of them. You knew exactly who it was, you know, who we modeled life after. It should be the sense that rushes forth from us, and people can see, like, what do they have, or how have they come to encounter Christ, and how can I share that?
Well, and today, the gospel reading at Mass, if somebody has already been to Mass this morning, or maybe they'll be going a little later today, we actually hear in the gospel reading where Jesus originally calls the 12 disciples. And this is in St. Matthew's gospel. And the last sentence in that reading has Jesus telling his disciples, as you go, make this proclamation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in that same gospel, Jesus, when he talks again at the end of Matthew's gospel, talking to the same disciples, minus Judas, who isn't there with them, he ends up telling them something fairly similar. Go out and make disciples of all nations. Not just that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but now go make disciples. Let them be like you are. Let them follow me just like you're following me. So being ready and looking for an opportunity to share about our faith, this also seems to be a key element of our faith. You know, I just mentioned John Paul II. It's not enough to know Christ. You must introduce him to others. Jesus tells his disciples to go out and tell others about him. You know, evangelical Christians, they've emphasized this a lot in their teaching, in the way that they live out their faith. Jehovah's Witnesses, they're another one that you can look at and say, well, they're, you know, it's very well known that they'll go door to door, knocking on doors, trying to engage people in conversation about what they believe. How do you think the average Catholic layperson should look for opportunities to tell others about Jesus, to introduce others to Jesus? You know, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone going door to door trying to evangelize the way that you might see Jehovah's Witnesses do. You know, not in the Catholic Church necessarily, but I think of the work that somebody like Mother Teresa might do.
Yep.
You know, helping to just meet the needs of those around. And at that point, when their needs are met, then there's the opportunity to maybe engage in a conversation of the faith. And here's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yep. And the story with Jehovah's Witnesses, I know my family, when we noticed if my grandpa lived just next to us, if we saw the Jehovah's Witnesses by him, my mom would tell us, hide, you know, hide, you know,
right.
Because it's not the way people necessarily want to be encountered, you know, as well. There's a time and a place, but it's not necessarily the people want to be encountered. When we think about our daily waves of being disciples and then reaching out and going and making disciples, is that it starts with relationships. It starts with relationships, and as you began the show talking about different mentors and people that have, you know, people that we've looked up to into different ways, you know, outside of a relationship, it's really hard to make disciples. Disciples are made in the context of a relationship, and so relationship is so important. The next thing is, you know, through our baptism and through our confirmation, each of us have, you know, particular charisms, gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit has given us in order to make disciples. And different people have different charisms. Some people, their charism is intentional prayer and prayer ministry. Others, it's the gift of music. Others, it's craftsmanship and administration and works of wisdom. But these are all different charisms that, you know, if someone who, you know, has you've got the gift of music, but if someone who doesn't have the gift of music tries to share the gospel with music, it's not going to be good. You know, it's we've all been given that apostolic being sent mission. But all of us, you know, have different charisms that share the gospel in different ways. And so those would be the two things in the sense of how do we go about sharing them. Going door to door, probably not the best bet. It's about relationship, but then it's being very attentive to, you know, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are within me, that where the Holy Spirit and God's love manifests itself the most.
Right. Yeah, and that's such a good point, Father. You know, it's so easy to look at somebody else and say, oh, yep, they seem to be making such a great impact on sharing the faith or being, yep, a witness for Christ. And that might appeal to us, but that might not be where God has gifted us. And so we need to be just very honest with ourselves, I think, Father, in the way that, you know, examining and saying, well, if that's not my strength, where are my strengths or where are my talents? Where are my gifts that I can go ahead and use those for the glory of God? And that's also, I think, really important there too, for the glory of God, not for my own glory, not for my own satisfaction. And that's something that can be kind of a difficulty there where it's, you know, yeah, I want to do that, but I want to do things the way I want to do them because this looks exciting or it looks more fun, or I think I would really enjoy that. Well, you know, being a disciple of Christ, while Christ, of course, wants us to be happy, it doesn't mean that, you know, the thing that kind of seems maybe glamorous to us or enticing to us is the way that God wants us to be his follower, wants us to share about the good news, the gospel message.
That's exactly it. It's unique to each of us. And I think nowadays we often look to the people that are kind of like the teachers per se, you know, the person that's got a microphone, you know, that's teaching us. That's the, you know, the best way to share the gospel. And there are people that have that gift of teaching with, you know, media and, you know, like we're on the radio right now and podcasts, and that's a great gifting within the church. But that's not the gifting of everyone. And I think of those, you know, the charisms of, you know, works of service and acts of mercy, those who are, you mentioned Mother Teresa, you know, down in the trenches caring for the sick. You know, that's a powerful, powerful witness to the gospel. And I think that's the important thing. We think of, you know, the sower and the seed, that our Lord, you know, sows out the seeds. The Lord is just generous in planting seeds everywhere. And what that seed and what the plant looks like, us do it to St. Teresa's example. We're all kind of different flowers in the Lord's garden, each treasured and each with a particular purpose and mission.
Our spiritual director today is Father Matthew Witter, a priest in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And we're talking about being disciples of Jesus, that concept of discipleship. How do you imitate, how do you follow Christ in your life? How can others see that you are a disciple of Jesus? Maybe even in those small things that you might do, not just the large things, the big things. How do you follow Christ and his teachings so that others can see that in your actions? Kind of like St. Francis of Assisi is attributed with that saying, share the gospel always and when necessary, then use words. Can people see that in your life? We'd love to hear how you live out the discipleship following Christ. 888-914-9149 is our studio line. 888-914-9149. And our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. More on discipleship in just a moment here on The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.